Turn in your Bibles, Psalms 24. I want to share a little bit about this realm. I'm beginning to understand this whole realm when you tie Psalms 24 into John 17. Psalms 24, very, very powerful psalm. It says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. This is a end time psalm. It said, who shall ascend into the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart has not lifted his soul to idolatry, nor sworn deceitfully. He will receive the blessing of the Lord. So we talk about moving into these realms and receiving the blessing of the Lord, getting established in righteousness. Praise God. It says, this is the generation that seek him, that seek thy face. That word thy face is the same word of Genesis 17 when God said, walk before me, walk before my face. Panin, it means to stand in front of me. This is the generation. There's a whole generation that's going to come up into the face of God. It's the generation that's going to catch God, apprehend God, and enter into a perfected union with him. Amen. It's not enough anymore to enter into his presence. We have to enter into a perfected union. It says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be you lifted up, you everlasting door, and the King of glory. So it talks about the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be you lifted up, you everlasting doors. We are the gates that is lifted up. You can't get to this realm of the King of the glory without getting into the mountain of God, receiving the blessing of that mountain, being established in that mountain. We have to get established in that mountain before you start moving in joint heirship. You have to move in as a son, and you have to solidify. He's to receive the righteousness. Now listen, righteousness is a free gift. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm going to share something with you today, because I'm going to share with the King of glory. It says, who is this King of glory? Who is the King of glory? It's who is this King of glory? When you are enduring to receive, especially out of the right hand of God, you have to understand what you're receiving. God just doesn't download arbitrarily. You have to understand and see what you're receiving there. Let's take the righteousness of God, for example, before I get into the King of glory. How many of you know you're the righteousness of God in Christ? Well, you know that because you've been taught that. Unless you're in a Pentecostal holiness church, you pretty much know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, just because you know that, just because that is a part of who you are, doesn't mean you're always walking in that. Doesn't mean that you're always tasting that, seeing that. But every time you go into this mountain, if you become skilled, you can exchange who you are and your flesh, and you can enter into the standing that the Lord has given you. Paul said it like this. He says, I'm found in him, not having my own righteousness. No matter what you achieve in this lifetime, his is always greater. Amen. So we always want to exchange into him. And that's what we do. We spend time doing that. Now, you're entering into a perfected standing. Even Paul said, a lifetime of keeping the law, I could not obtain 1 ounce of the righteousness he gives me by free gift. Amen. So you're entering in, believe it or not, to a finished work. We've been doing it for a long time. Same with the Lily's Grace. He's finished. You're just entering into the finished position and appropriating the finished position. Amen? Because it's already done. So you're exchanging where you are for who he is. I don't like to say future, because it doesn't always donate the future. It just donates who you are. You are. It doesn't matter what you feel or how you feel, you are the righteousness of God, right? So when you enter in, you can exchange and be found in him, because he's your perfected standing, right? And so because he's perfect standing, he stands in the finish line every single day, every day, always. And all you're doing is entering into something that's already available to you, right? So we're entering into a standing that already belongs to us, right? That's all Abraham did. He stepped up into a position that God already had ordained for him. Well, the glorious thing about Christ, and this is what you got to understand, Jesus is the end all of all things. He finished everything. He was the perfected offering, and he finished the work of salvation from head to toe, beginning to end. There's nothing he did not finish complete in its fullness. He already finished the last days. Before he even begins the last days, before he even opens the book, he's finished it. He already wears the crown that's going to shake all nations. He's already spoken. He's going to assume his great power in the earth again, and he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. He already has received all that from the Father. So he received everything for you in our salvation. Righteousness. That's why when you enter into the grace of the lily, you can be full of toil, works, and labor. When you get skilled at it, you can come into his rest, and all of a sudden it dismantles the anxiety. It dismantles works, toil, and labor, and suddenly you're standing in the peace of God. Why? You're entering into a finished position that's already done. Say, it's done. Well, this is what King of Glory, say King of Glory. When he says, who is this King of Glory? This King of Glory, mighty in battle. He's ready. Whoever this one is, he's coming out mighty in battle. He's ready to get after it. Amen. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of the angelic armies, the Lord of hosts. This is the King of Glory. Now, he is a lot of things in this manifestation. And where he sits is in the right hand of God. Where he's going to rule is here in the earth. Amen. But where we have to meet with this King of Glory, we're trying to get King of Glory here. We have to go up to meet with the King of Glory. Why? Because he sits in the right hand of God. He sitteth King forever. He is the King that's been set on the holy hill of Zion. So today, I want to give you a little revelation of who this King of Glory is. There is so much to him, more than these two verses. Who he is, where he sits, what he has, what he plans to do, what he's presently holding, his promises to us, his promises to our generation. When we go to him, it says, first we receive our position in the mount of the Lord. Then it says, lift up your head, O you gates. Lift up your head, O you everlasting. We are the gates and the door of the last day. It says, this is the generation that will seek the face of God, that will stand before his face. Just like Abraham, same word, same exact word, when he told Abraham, stand before me. He meant stand before my face. Now, what we're going to receive, now this is huge. What you're going to receive depends on what you understand him to be. See, you have to have revelation of who you're, what you're receiving from. You're not receiving Jesus, your Savior there. You already have him. Amen? We're receiving the King of Glory and all of his inheritance. It's important to understand inheritance because that is what... Now, you can do this for any area of your life that you understand Christ to be. You can do it for Christ the healer. You can do it Christ the righteousness. You can do it Christ the peace, your rest. You can do this for any area of your life. But we're doing it for Christ the King of Glory. Amen? Because that's what we're called to usher in. Amen? So we have to understand who he is, what he has, what he's bringing with him. Historical precedents, modern day precedents, future precedents, because he that was, is, and is to come. Amen? And there's a lot to what he is sitting in and what he's bringing with him. And the understanding of all of that becomes panoramic within your spirit when you stand before him. Because when you lift up your gate, you're receiving him. Amen? Not just a part of his inheritance, he's bringing every part of him with him. So we got to know what's all there. So I'm going to just exhort some of the things that he is right now, what he has right now, what he's bringing. Because when you're saying, lift up your gate and receive this King of Glory, you have to understand who you're receiving. Well, he's Christ the King. Yes, I know that. But you got to know everything, what his intentions are, everything he's inherited for us, everything he plans on doing. Amen? Because we're receiving him to walk in our body. Our hands are going to be his hands. Our feet are going to be his feet. Our mind is going to be his mind. Our heart's going to be his heart. He's literally going to come off that throne. John 17, he says, my glories, though this is the foundation of all, I give to you. As you are in me, where I am, and we're in the Father, I am in you, where you are, and my Father is in me. Amen? That we may be perfected in oneness. The glory and the awesomeness of this is he's already given us what we're about to ask him for. Amen? So because he's already given us his glory, what he wants is what his last prayer was in John 17. Father, I will, this was his final prayer, that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that you have given me. See, you have to see him, not with these eyes. You have to see him with the eyes of the heart. You have to see him in his glory, because that's where you're going to receive him from. That's what Elijah told Elisha. If you can see me when I'm lifted up in the spirit, you can have my mantle. But you're going to have to see in another dimension. Because if you want my mantle in a double portion, you're going to have to be able to see in another dimension except this one. That is what God's asking us to do. To behold his face. Amen. That is what we're going to go up in the mountain. We get established. And then we're going to go up into the arena, join airship. So let's look at a few things the Lord is inherited. The Bible says that he sits. He said, I will set my king on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. That was Christ being set in Zion upon his resurrection. Paul even said this, spoke of the resurrection. He says, ask of me now the nations for thine inheritance. King James says heathen, but it means nations. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Those two things going on there. Well, three things. The full earth and all its possessions. Nations and people, tongues, and tribes coming into salvation. But it also means all the nations are going to come under his authority. He says, thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron. He's talking about in the millennial reign, all the nations are going to come under the authority of his crown. It's already prophesied. You got to understand that, what's going to be happening in the last days here. In that position, he already inherited the nations. He's already inherited people, tongue, tribe. That's why in the early church, when they preached 5,000 born again, 3,000 born again, just boom, boom. The reason was because he already inherited these things. They were simply casting the net, see. When you understand what he's inherited, we understand what's ours. He sitteth king, right? Now, Daniel sees him ascend before the Ancient of Days, and it says there was given to him to a kingdom and a glory and a dominion forever. All that he received is ours. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says, all things, why do you fight with one another? Why do you strive? All things are yours. Or you say, anything that I'm going to describe, you're already joint heir. But what you do, what's the purpose? We're going to come up before this realm. We're going to describe who he is. To thee we ascribe glory. We're going to ascribe, describe, and ascribe who he is. The reason you're doing that is because you're opening the realm. The more attention you give to the realm, the brighter it gets. The less attention, the less bright it gets. So the more attention, you're wanting that realm to get lit up. Why? Because you're going to have to receive from that realm. And you have to receive it from a realm of light. So he ascends before the ancient age. He receives a kingdom and a glory and a dominion. Hebrews says that he was made lower than the angel, the suffering of death. And then he was crowned with glory and honor. So we see he was taken to the very top. And the Bible says in Hebrews says he is the appointed heir of all things. God, when Jesus died, the race of Adam died. Everything could die that day. As far as God was concerned, Adam's dead. The king is alive. Long live the king. Because a new king is born. Right? And then at that point, God reassigned everything to Christ. Everything. He says, in him, all fullness dwells. They please the Father that in him all, say all. He's appointed heir of all things. All power and authority in heaven and earth is mine. He said that. Right? He has that. We're trying to get that functioning here. Amen? So he inherits all things. So what all did he inherit? Because then we're going to talk about what he's bringing with him. All right? Let's just look at the past for a minute. The Bible says in Isaiah 65, it says, I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. in particularly one he was speaking of that day was the Mount Hebron. That's where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their wives were buried, right? That is where the giants were. That is what Caleb eventually inherited when he came into the promised land. When the 12 spies came in, that's where they went. That's where the fruit was. That's where the glory was. That's where the anointing was. God planted that mountain. All the blessing was in that mountain. The glory was in that mountain. All is planting. Caleb inherits it. Then David's crowned in Mount Hebron. Then Solomon receives the crown of David. You see the progression, and then Christ inherits David's throne when he's taken up into heaven. God reassigned the throne and the crown into the heavens. The Bible's very clear about that. He sits upon the throne of David to execute in judgment forever upon the throne of David. Acts 2 says all this. So he inherits all this inheritance, and then he inherits the crown, so he inherits all the king's anointings before him. Abraham's blessing he inherits, all the spiritual blessing in heaven place. He takes all of it up into the heavens, and then God sets it up there. Isn't that awesome? He sets all of that inheritance up there. Abraham's blessing, Isaac's blessing. He tells Nathaniel, he said, look, today you're going to see the angels ascend and descend just like they did with Jacob. I am Jacob's heir. I inherited everything, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are all speaking of me. I am the one. I have it all. See, all of these operations are in him and with him. He sitteth in the right hand of God. The Bible says all spiritual blessings are in the crown. So he inherits the crown. He inherits the throne. He sits as king. That's part of the king of glory, right? We've been after that inheritance forever. Finally, the Lord shifted and said, I don't want you to go after my mountain. I want you to receive the one who has the mountain. I don't want you to go after the crown. I want you to receive the one who has the crown. See, when you get him as king of glory, you get everything, right? He sits as king forever. All of this is an inheritance. All the spiritual blessing, God turned it all into this realm of the spirit. Everything spiritual, he had to do it, had to put it there. Why did he put it there? So the enemy couldn't steal it. He had to set it in heavenly places. Because the enemy stole Adam's inheritance here, so he's the last Adam. He receives it, brings it up into the heavens, and he out of the domain of the enemy, far above the enemy, right? But then what? He gives you access to it. That's why we have access to these realms. That's why you go up to receive, right? Because that's where it is. It all is with him. So now we see he's inherited the crown. He's inheritor of David's throne. But not only that, God, and lastly, perfects the crown. We see the perfection of that crown in the book of Revelation, because now he wears and he received the lampstand. We know it's a last day lamp, and the lamp's burning before the throne. These are the seven spirits of God burning before the throne. Suddenly the seven spirits of God are upon him in Revelation 5, right? Seven eyes of omnipresent omniscience. Seven horns of omnipotent dominion. Why seven? Seven's the perfection of all things. God has been perfecting all of this. It's all perfected. Seven eyes. So he's not only carrying the wisdom of Solomon, but I'm telling you, greater than Solomon's here. Because what I'm carrying, the wisdom's greater than Solomon, because the seven eyes are with me. These are the eyes of omnipresent omniscience. That's why when the Lord walked the earth, you couldn't get anything over him. He could see in front of him, behind him, in every side. They were constantly with him. He knew everything. He knew his disciples, who they'd be before they even showed up. He said, Nathaniel, I saw you sitting under a tree. He knew he could finish their sentences for him because he was walking in a light that wasn't of this world. That is with him now. It's what he's giving his church in the last days. So we see the crown, seven horns. Horns means kings and kingdoms. Dominion, say dominion. The perfected dominion is with him, say with him. So the seven horns are with him. He wears it. Right? We know that they're going to be poured out into all the earth. We know by Zechariah 4, he is Zerubbabel. He's bringing the crown out. He's bringing the final crown out into the church in the last days. We know he's going to crown his church. All right? So he has the crown. It's perfected. He has the eyes. He has the horns. He has the dominion. He has the wisdom. We also know that they were saying, worthy is the Lamb to receive the what? Because you're going to hear us pray all this. The reason we're saying all this is because we're going to pray all this. He received the seven inheritances. Power, that's dunamis. These are the last day inheritances. Dunamis for the crown. Generational wealth, that's riches. Wisdom, strength, honor and glory. This is the honor and glory he was raised in. And all the blessing in the spiritual realm. That's all of it. Abraham's blessings. Isaac, Jacob's. He received all of it. He sits on all of it as the appointed heir. That my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in heaven. So we see him as this King of Kings. We see him. He wears this crown. This crown goes in front. It tells us what's going to happen in front of the crown, because you're not just receiving, you're receiving a last day promise that's going to outlast you. Remember when Abraham received, when God was telling him, look to the stars, took him out into his future, walked him out into his future, cut a covenant with him and his seed, made him a father of many nations that day. He never saw that in his lifetime. He never saw many nations. He never saw any of that in his lifetime. But God took him out to receive something that was far greater than him in his lifetime. That's why you have to understand what the crown's going to do in the future, because you're still receiving the one that's going to outlast us. It's for our day. It's for the next season two. It talks about what's going to happen in the last days with the crown, the shakings of the earth. Oh, I will shake all things, and the glory in the treasures of all nations will come in my house. That's our day. The glory of this latter day house that he's going to build is greater than Solomon's house. That's a pretty big house. Amen. That's a lot of glory. That is our day. But then he talks about how the nations, he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's after the tribulation. But even during the tribulation, in Revelation 13, the great angel shouts, he goes, he will now, when Michael the archangel cast down, you have to understand the tribulation age, all the principalities ruling in heavenly places, they're not going to remain there. They are going to be cast out of heaven, down into the earth. The devil and all of his archangels are going to be cast down into the earth. The Bible specifically says they are. He says, whoa, unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil's come down unto you. That's the final 3.5 years. The only light anywhere is the 144,000 witnesses. But that is part of it, because this other angel follows that up and says, now, the King of glory will resume. He will assume his great power in the earth. He's coming to assume his authority. He's coming to rule the nations. He's about to reign for 1,000 years. All nations are coming under the dominion and the domain of Christ into the earth. All that's going to happen with the crown, with the King of glory. So when you say, who is this King of glory, mighty in battle? He's coming out with a mission. A mission for this generation, a mission for the church, a mission for the last days, and ultimately a mission to rule and reign over all nations. He doesn't divide it. We are divided from it because we have a part, and then we're out of here. But he continues on, because it said, who are these two olive trees? He says, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the what? The Lord of the whole earth. He's down here administrating. People can't see him. He's still working through his witnesses, but he's here. He's present. His crown is present. And he's administrating in the earth. And he will until he stands on the Mount of Olives, visible for all people to see. Then he reveals his glory. And everyone will see him in his glory. Amen? But what God's requiring of us is to see him where he is, the seam in the realm of the invisible. The way you do that is you take these words that he gives you. See, all these things he's given us, they're very real. It's a very real place he sits. It's a very real inheritance. It's a very real promise. He's a very real King of glory, and he has a very real mission in our day. And the more that we bring that up before him and rehearse it, the more glorious it becomes. That is how you receive. You have to receive by seeing the realm. You can't walk up into the realm and just try to receive something. You're blanked out. You haven't exercised any faith for that realm. You can't see anything there. These words give you the light of who he is. That's why he said, who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. So, what are we receiving? If you understand the dynamics, this is the generation that seeks him and finds his face, is what he's saying. That the Lord Jesus himself is going to come walk up in our body. We have to understand the fullness of that. He's going to walk in our feet. He's going to ministrate with our hands. He's going to make decisions with our mind. He's going to stand in our... That is the perfected oneness. He says, my Father are going to come and we're going to stand with you in the earth. We're going to make our habitation with you in the earth. That's awesome. That is where we're going with this. We want receiving him. But what you're receiving is everything. And I want to say these things because what we're after with every part of us right now, it's the King of glory to come out from that throne for the last days. There is no last days until the King of glory arrives. He is the administration of the last days. He holds every key. So the key of the house of David is upon his shoulders. He's the only one qualified to open the door. He's the only one qualified to bring it out. He's the only one qualified to bring that crown out, but he has to bring it out through his people. He's got to walk out into somebody. And in this case, it's going to be a whole generation. Isn't that awesome? What is it we're receiving there? Because it's important we understand this part. So I've been going through some overview of what he's inherited. What is it we're receiving? Who is this King of glory? Lift up your head, O you gates. Be you lifted up, you everlasting door. And this King of glory shall come in. Now, as you know, last week I had an encounter with this, and we've been standing in this arena that he sits in for a while, but nothing like what happened. He literally, in this encounter, stood up and walked straight into me. Well, I was standing in there, and he stood up and he walked right into me as the King of glory. It was just incredible. He said, this is what I'm going to do in the last days. I am going to enter in to my people in a perfected union. This is what my Father and I had in my ministry in the earth. This is what I'm giving to the generation that seeks my face. I'm giving them not just an anointing to be anointed. I'm giving them me and all of the glory, the King of glory. So when we're standing receiving, what does he have? Well, we know he's dressed in battle array, so he's ready to go. We know he's what? We know he is the King of glory, the Lord of hosts. We receive him, the King of glory, as Lord of the angelic armies. That's a huge part of this operation. We see the angels ascending and descending. He's bringing them all with him. You're going to see that in a whole new dimension when you start bringing up and going up before his throne. You start seeing the ministering flames of fire. He said, I'm going to be a wall of fire around about you, and I'll be the glory in your midst. Specifically speaking of the last day church in Zechariah, the glory in the midst. See the wall of fire. He's bringing that angelic wall of fire around about us. Amen. What else are we receiving? The crown. That's the seven spirits of God. Seven spirits of God is the Holy Spirit, but Revelation does not refer to him as Holy Spirit because he's carrying a new role in the book of Revelation. He is the seven spirits of God. Greetings from him that was, is, and is to come, and the seven spirits of God and Jesus. All three of them are mentioned. So we receiving the crown, you're receiving everything that's in that crown, everything we just talked about. When you're receiving him, he brings the crown with him. When you're receiving him, he brings the army with him. You're not receiving him as Savior. Don't look at him as Savior up there. You've got to see him as Lord of glory, King of glory. The glory part, he goes, my Father's with me. My Father will make our abode with you. He's coming. You see how he brings the angels. He brings the crown. He brings the Father. He brings the inheritance. He brings it all. He's Alpha and Omega. He's got it all. When he comes and stands in the earth with us, he will stand and administrate his government into the earth. You're going to see this place radically shift. He's bringing all that with him. That is what he was promising in John. That was what he says the oneness was about. My glory now that I have of my Father. The same operation where I was in my Father where he is in, but he was fully in me where I was in the earth doing the works. I'm giving this to you. You're going to be with me where I am, mountain, Father. And then my Father and I'm going to be I in them. Father, thou in me. We're coming to dwell in them. See, we always just look at that as God coming to dwell in his manifest presence. See, you're going to get what you see. You're going to receive what you see. If you see manifest presence, that's what you're going to get. But I want King of Glory. Because King of Glory bringing the whole government with him. What's kingdom within? He brings the government with him. He brings the kingdom with him. He brings the crown with him. You have to focus to see him and to know what we're asking for. It changed the dynamic of everything we were doing. Everything shifted with that encounter because I realized when he stood up from that throne and he walked in, he was King of Glory. He wanted to walk into his people in the last days as King of Glory. He wanted to stand in the heavenly gates were going to be lifted up. A generation of gates and doors would be lifted up to him, and he would come out from his throne and stand with his people and rule and reign with us in the earth. When you see that in the fullness of the glory and understand what he wants, of how he'll literally take over. He said, when this happens, your life is not your own. You don't care anymore. Because the glory that he's bringing is so far greater than any kind of life we have here. He will start administration of his kingdom day one. Signs, miracles, and wonders. He will begin the rule and the reign of the last days. And the outpouring of the great seven spirits of God that are with him. Very clear that he has the seven spirits of God with him. Very clear in Zechariah 4. Says these are the seven eyes of the Lord that go to and fro the whole earth. It's a global vision. He has got globe on his mind. He's got the whole earth on his mind. Father, awaken us to what you're giving us. Awaken us. Snap us into kingdom reality. Snap us into the glory of all this stuff we've been learning. It's time now to apprehend. The same way you step out from your arena and you step into his righteousness. You're already the righteousness of God, right? But you're standing in him. And there's an exchange that takes place. Why? Because it's already yours. This is already yours. This has already been given to this generation. He's already prophesied it's going to happen. He's already prophesied the generation that would seek him, the heavenly gate be lifted up. He's prophesied all of that. And now he's ready for us to come in to receive. So we're coming in and we're asking large. I don't want the angels that are with him. I want him with the angels. I don't want the crown that's upon him. I want him with the crown that's upon him. I want him with the Father that's with him. Because he has it all we have to do is to set our faith to receive all that. Him. To step out is King of Glory. Lift up your head, O you gates. Be you lifted up, you everlasting doors. And what? The King of Glory will come in. He steps in a new dimension, see. That's what we need him. The church needs him in a new dimension. The church needs him in a dimension he hasn't seen. Everything that everyone's saying is already finished. It's already sitting in a predefined place. And it's already been given. We just got to go up and get it. Amen? And that's what we're after. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.